Hi, this is Bob Sorrentino from Italian Roots and Genealogy, and I have a really, really interesting guest today, John Campitelli, and he was, I guess, the founder or president of Italia Adoption. So welcome, John. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Bob. I'm really happy to be on your show.
I'm interested in talking to you on so many fronts. I mean, first of all, you know, my two children are adopted from America, from Florida.
Right.
So not that exotic a place, but still in all. And I researched their backgrounds. But you have an interesting story in that you were born in Italy and adopted by American parents. Is that right?
That's right. I think my byline is made in Italy, adopted in the USA. That kind of much sums it up.
So when did you find out that you were adopted from Italy?
Yeah, let's put it this way. I found out when my parents told me, which is as early as I can remember, which is the best way for parents to approach this.
Right.
Because, we know now, probably didn't know in the 50s and the 60s, but the best thing for a child is to know where they come from, what their identity is, so there's no shock or late discoveries, as we call them in the adoption world, further on in life. And my parents being very open about it, they actually adopted four kids from Italy, myself, Paul and David, my twin brothers, and Sarah, my sister. So let's say I didn't grow up alone. I was very fortunate to have a beautiful family, to be raised in Poughkeepsie, New York, in upstate New York, and to have grown up in a country of freedom and a country where it gave me everything. My parents were artists. Of course, my dad's a painter, and he decided, he was a GI during the Second World War. He fought in the European theater after the war was over. While he was waiting to get repatriated, he decided to come to Italy to check out the countryside and his origins, because as you can tell from Campitelli, my last name is from Abruzzo in the province of Teramo, in the town of Ancarano. That's where my Campitelli relatives are from. And he decided to come to Italy and check it out while he was waiting to go back to the States. And he fell in love with Italy as being an artist, mm-hmm. and with the art capital of the world being Florence. He said, when I grow up, sure. have a family, I'm going to bring my family back to Italy. And that's what we did. In 1969, with my brothers and sisters, my parents, we moved to Florence. And I spent from 69 to 79 in Italy. And that's why I speak Italian. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here today. Here, meaning in Italy, not on the beach, as you can see from my background. I actually moved back to Italy in 1999, and I met my wife here in Italy, and now I'm married, and I have two teenage daughters.
Wow, that's awesome. That's an incredible story. So, not being familiar with how that all worked back in the 50s and 60s and 70s when Americans were adopting Italian children.
Mm-hmm.
How did they know about that? I mean, because he was there and was in the country so much, did he learn of the possibility of doing that?
That's a good question. I guess back in those days, word of mouth did everything. There was no such thing as internet, no such thing as as video blogging and recording and Zoom meetings and so forth. So I think they just asked the relatives and friends, the pastor at the parish, the local parish, to say, what can we do? Since my mom had a hysterectomy, she couldn't have children. They said, we want to have a family and we can't have kids. What's the easiest way to do it? And they said, well, there's no easy way to adopt children, as you well know.
Mm-hmm.
There is a surplus of orphans, quote unquote, in Italy. And if you're willing to go that route, there's hundreds and hundreds of children waiting for families over there. And the Italian authorities are open to releasing these children and letting them emigrate to the United States so that they can be adopted by good families and be raised. And my parents said, yeah. I mean, my dad was an Italian background, as I mentioned earlier. So he said, why not? Let's try it. And they requested, they filled out all the proper forms with the Catholic Charities. And the local Catholic Charities pointed them to the National Catholic Welfare Conference, the Catholic Relief Service of the Catholic Church, said, we have all the the means in place to find children in the different institutions in Italy. And they eventually, my parents said, yeah, let's go that route. They actually came over to Italy in 1958 and adopted my two older brothers, their twins, Paul and David. And then after that went through and they were happy with that decision, they decided to adopt two more children, Sarah and myself, in 65. So that's how I ended up in the United States.
That's such a great story. Now, can you still adopt through Italy today?
You can, but there's no children available. In Italy, in 1975, they passed the law, the abortion law, of course. So that emptied out all the institutions because women who did not want to have children or unplanned pregnancies, they just decided to terminate the child, and therefore there are no more children available for adoption in Italy. There are very few, and the very few children that are still relinquished in Italy go to national adoptions. They don't go overseas anymore. Italy is the third country in Europe for adopting in from foreign countries now. So it's just the other side, the reverse side of the...
I never would have thought that.
Yeah, after the United States and after Holland, the Netherlands, Italy is in third place for international adoptions these days. So,
wow, that's something.
Children, a country that provided children to other countries, now we are the third importer. I hate to say that because it sounds like a good. one of the largest countries for adoptions. Yeah.
Well, you know, when we were looking, we interviewed or, you know, kind of looked into international adoptions. And so we're talking, I guess, in the early 90s, I guess it was when we started. And they suggested at the time Paraguay and Uruguay because they said that they had a lot of children, and a lot of the children there were actually from Italian or German descent because there was so many, you know, so much migration there.
That's right.
And then, you know, when we were talking to them about it, they said the biggest issue at the time, and especially in some of the South American countries, is they said they changed the law so often that you could be in the middle of something, of an adoption, and they decide, okay, well, now you can't take the kids anymore. And right. I think it was Paraguay where they had a Catholic archbishop, believe it or not, who was telling people that they were sending the kids for parts. You know, people were taking the kids for parts. I mean, this is a Catholic bishop of all people, right? And you would think they would want these children to have a better life and grow up and everything. So now my kids were newborns and we adopted them, but you weren't. You were a couple of years old when you got adopted, yeah?
Yeah, because there's the whole paperwork that has to be completed for international adoptions. In Italy at the time was averse to giving away newborns because they figured they'd need time to be checked out to make sure that they're healthy. The U.S. consulates in Italy had to go through a medical examination to make sure these children that were given non-quota visas to enter the United States. They had to be checked out, and they had to make sure that we wouldn't become a burden on the U.S. health system, of course. So that they had to make sure that we were in good health, and before all the vaccinations could be completed, and being able to be issued passports and put on a plane and shipped over to the States, time passed, right? And Italy happens overnight. Rome wasn't built in a day. And you know the bureaucracy over here. is pretty lengthy, and so it took me about two and a half years to get over to the States, and that's
so now your birth records that do you have Italian birth? So I'll give you an example with our kids. When our kids, we were issued from the hospital birth certificates in our names, so the birth parents were totally off the birth certificate. So you know, when you look at their birth certificate, it says Sorrentino. It doesn't say. So in your case now, do you have an Italian birth certificate? Do you have American? Do you have both? What kind of, you know, documentation do you have?
what kind of alien are you? That's what my parents always used to kid me. Yes, we were actually born in Italy with Italian birth records. In other words, we have an atto integrale di nascita, which is a certificato di nascita that says that we were born in Italy, in the city we were born, in the hospital we were born, but of unknown parents. Okay, many people in the state don't realize that a woman to this day in Italy can give birth anonymously. In other words, they can go through the pregnancy, give birth to the child, and then not recognize the child. So their name never shows up on a birth certificate. Wow. The child gets registered at the vital records office and is given a fictitious last name. It has nothing to do with your birth parents' last name. So that's to protect the birth mothers and to protect the children. That's at least what the current thinking is.
Yeah.
And to this day, it's so. And there's just a saying at the bottom where it says the name of the mother. It says, nata da donna che non consente di essere nominata, meaning born from a woman who does not consent to be named. So that's what's on my original Italian birth certificate, which I took with me to the States and got registered in New York State. And they issued me an amended birth certificate that says you were born in Torino in Italy on September 23rd, 1963, but no information on birth parents. So that leaves you with zero.
Your
roots, origin, your identity is completely erased when you're born in Italy by unknown parents. And, you know, that's quite common for people who are doing genealogy in Italy or looking for their grandparents, their great-grandparents, and they see the word, the letters NN, Niente Nascio, which is in Latin means you're born from nobody. In other words, the names.
Oh, wow, that's so sad.
It is sad. For genealogists, it's a brick wall because there's no way you can go beyond that, right? If you find an NN on your grandparents or grandfathers or whatever certificate, you're stuck. So that means you're born from a couple that were not able by law to recognize you. And by law, meaning if the mother was unwed at the time, you were born out of wedlock, which was 90% of our cases, they could not recognize you. If you were a minor, back in the 50s, you were a minor. If you were under 21 and you had a child and you were not able to recognize that child, okay, unless you were married, of course, right? So all these cases are, that's why the institutions, they're not orphanages because we're not really orphans per se. That's why I just put the quotes around the orphan word, but we were not recognized. Being not recognized, you become a ward of the state. The state has to pay for your upbringing, right? And
so the
Italian government wanted to get rid of these children, so they were paying for all these children that were in these institutions. And if they weren't adopted in Italy, they just sat there, right, for years and years and years. Some of these children, sadly, stayed there until they're 18, and they became, you know, adults, and they were never adopted, which is the saddest part of the whole thing.
Yeah, that is. And you know, the thing, too, is, Italians don't do DNA tests. very few, and it makes me crazy because, you know, especially on my father's side, because most of them didn't come, and my wife is half Sicilian, half Puerto Rican, and the Puerto Ricans, every Puerto Rican does a DNA test apparently because she's got cousins all over the place, and you know, we're going in June finally, and I'm thinking of bringing a few DNA tests with me.
Ew.
And force the cousins here, do this.
You can't force anybody to do anything, but you can strongly recommend, let's put it that way, especially when you give it to them as a gift, they look positive instead of something negative. And that's really common with most European countries. There's this big thing about privacy in Europe that we value our privacy. We have GDPR laws, which actually protect people's privacy. So anything that gets stored in a database somewhere in the cloud or somewhere outside of your purview, let's say, gets categorized under this personal information law. And people are really, I guess they're not too happy about finding out when you take an ancestry test or a DNA test and it goes and ends up in a database that gets controlled by a company out of Israel, out of the U.S., out of other countries, and their data can be used for anything, right? And so that's why they're averse to taking DNA tests. And that's understandable on one hand. It's not from the other hand, especially for us adoptees. That's, you know, the only way that we'll probably ever find out who our birth parents are. DNA test is the way to go these days, and we all know it. it's helping us find the relatives that we never thought could be possible because the records say nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, in with my children, they were adopted in Florida, and mm-hmm. Florida has a registry where you can, the parents, the birth parents and the children can register. Mm-hmm. And then when you're 18, you could mm-hmm. go to that registry. And if you want to find out, you could find out. So, you know, both mm-hmm. my kids, my daughter was bugging us from when she was 16. Mm-hmm. And I said, no, you have to wait.
You have to wait. That's right.
She was born January 1st, and January 1st when she was 18. Okay. so she met her birth parents. And her parents, they weren't registered. So we had to get a private detective to search it out.
That's the problem with these mutual consent registries. You have to have both sides.
Both sides have to register. That's right. Yeah, it doesn't work. And then my son, we always asked him if he's older. We always asked him, do you want to know? And he always said, you know, he didn't seem interested. And then his full sister contacted me on Facebook.
Ah.
And asked me if you know, and I said, well, I'll ask him. And right. So, and it was only, I guess, maybe 2 years ago or something like that, that he decided, okay, yeah, you know, since she contacted me, I'll find it out. So yeah. He hasn't met his birth mother yet, but she's supposed to come in June, and he's going to meet her. Wow. But I you understand on one hand the reason for it, but on the other hand, it's very sad that you can't delve into the history of where you actually come from, you know?
Yeah. That's actually changed in the last few years for two reasons. One is that an Italian adoptee challenged the Supreme Court here in Italy in 2013 and took the case to the Court of Human Rights in Europe. We have a European Human mm-hmm. Rights Court, and she won the case.
Really?
Yes. And that kind of overturned the Italian adoption law, which said that an adult adoptee could not find out their birth origin until 100 years had passed from their birth. 100 years, who's going to live to 100 years old, right? it was a euphemism just to say, okay, you don't have access to your birth records. That stipulation, that law was struck down by the Supreme Court after this European Court decision. And now anybody who's 18 or actually 25 or older now, they're still debating, can actually petition the courts in Italy and ask for information about their birth parents. So that's something that has been happening quite often now, that adult adoptees have the possibility of petitioning the courts, and the court will go into their record and see if there's any information on their birth mothers. As mm-hmm. I said, typically there is no information. But the institutions, the hospitals where they were born have the records. So
you don't
go to the comune, to the vital records office. You go to the province because these institutions were under the provincia, right? And the province has great archives. They have archives that go back to the 1600s. And so in there, they have all the envelopes, which are sealed with ceralacca. They're sealed envelopes with the names of the birth mothers who relinquished their children.
We'll be right back.
Italian Roots and Genealogy is proudly sponsored by Your Dolce Vita and Dawn Matera, connecting people to their purpose in life and continuing their legacy. For more information, contact Dawn at www.yourdolcevita.com. And the fathers, they were off the hook completely, then?
The who? Oh, there's a father? I always tell people it takes two to tango. And as a man, you know, that's kind of, it's a male country here in Italy. Laws are made by politicians. and they're made to protect them, right? So we're trying to change that law so that now that it's you know, you can petition the court and get all the information about the birth mother. If the birth mother is alive, the court will track her down. they'll see if she's willing to remove her anonymous birth status. If it is, they'll put you in touch with her. If she's deceased, you get her name, and that's it.
And that's okay?
It. Fathers, they say you're up a creek without a paddle because we don't have any information on the fathers. And that's where DNA testing comes in, and genetic genealogy fills in the gap, because that's the only way that we can track down the fathers.
Mm-hmm. If you're lucky enough to have, you know, a sibling or an uncle or somebody in the States who quite possibly, you know, could do a DNA test, I know it's a male cut. I get that. But still and all, I mean, that's nuts.
You could say that.
Well, you know, and interestingly enough, my great-grandfather from my paternal grandmother's father, his birth record shows that he was filio naturale.
Filio naturale. Yeah, the same thing.
But his father, because they came from a noble family, his father claimed him.
Okay, he recognized him.
Yep. Yeah. And but he on the one birth record, it shows that he was the son of my great-great-grandfather's second wife. So she must have claimed him in some sort of way, because in his case that they have these little cards with just basic information on it, and one says his mother was Maria Leone, and the other card says his mother was Maria Savino, who was my great-great-grandfather's wife. So he must have been born out of wedlock to this Maria Leone. But like I said, his father claimed him.
Right.
So, you know, we have all of that.
Yeah, you're lucky that you found that information. It's not always that easy to come by. So.
Yeah, it was one of the, you know, records that I was lucky to find. And not only did I find his record, I have his father's birth record too.
Great.
It's going back to 1816.
Congratulations.
So that's, you know, that's pretty amazing finds. And it has my third great-grandfather's signature on it.
Wow.
So, nice. You know, when you find stuff like that, it's
make your day.
Really something. But I didn't know until less than a week ago. I got contacted by somebody. My great-grandfather had... he married a second time. I guess he was a randy guy because he was 60 and his wife was 30, six months older than my grandmother.
You're right.
And he had two children with her. And I knew about that. I knew one of the grandsons. But I got contacted just the other day by the son of one of these, my grandmother's half-sisters. And he just connected with a couple of his siblings and a couple of his cousins. So first cousins, first removed that I never knew existed.
Branches of your tree that were out there, you just never knew they existed.
When I started this, I never even knew that I had anybody in Italy at all.
Right.
You know, so it's quite amazing to find that. But, you know, in your case and a lot of other people, it's sad, and I'm sure many people don't even know that you can petition the court, and that's one of the reasons why I wanted to talk to you.
Yeah, that's the sad part, because the new law hasn't passed yet. It's just the Supreme Court has struck down that piece of the law that does not allow you to get that information. So now the courts are just working on the Supreme Court decision. There's no official law yet because the legislators here in Italy, you know, they take forever to put down the new law. And so the courts we have 29 juvenile courts throughout all the provinces in Italy. And now all of them finally accept the petitions without putting up a fuss, without having to appeal the decisions that like we had to do at the beginning. Now it's just straightforward. It's an administrative nightmare because you have to file the petition in Italy. You have to have a local representative in Italy. It doesn't have to be an attorney. You just have to have someone in Italy that represents you because the Italian courts will not notify people outside of the country. Crazy things like that. Thank God for this pandemic. In one way, the only thing positive came of COVID is the fact that now you can actually do interviews with the judges and have hearings virtually through Zoom meetings or Webex meetings. Before, you had to go in person.
People
from the States who are petitioning the courts in Italy to travel to Italy for a half hour hearing with a judge, which is unheard of, right?
I mean, I should have done this years ago. I'm working with an attorney to get the Italian citizenship, and not so much for me anymore because I'm 70, but for the kids, you know, because if I get it, then the kids could get it. And I found out that now, because of COVID, that you can petition the courts. Because if I remember how Marco put it, I think the consulate had 90 days to respond or something. And they're so far behind that if they don't respond in time, you could go directly to the court.
Exactly.
And I found out 2 days ago that one of my cousins, two live in San Diego. From my grandmother's brothers, and one of them's a legal advisor in the consulate in San Diego. So I was like, hopefully I have an in now, and he can help fast track it.
I didn't know we had a consulate in San Diego. We have one in L.A. We have one in San Francisco. We have one in Dallas, but I didn't think we had one in San Diego.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, it must be. Yeah, I didn't think so either. But
must be an honorary maybe consulate.
Yeah, something small or something like that. So let's talk a little bit. I know you have a Facebook page that goes into this, and so for people who are listening, and I'm sure we're going to hit some people. What would they find on that Facebook page, and what do you recommend to them if they want to try and find out their roots?
Yeah, well, first of all, we tell everybody that thank God for the social media that now you can actually hook up with other people that have been through the same experience. And that's so cathartic in itself. You know, the mutual help is out there. It's just there for the asking. Our group and our association that we formed, it allows people from all walks of life to come to us and ask for assistance in locating their Italian origins, their birth families here in Italy. We've had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people approach us over the past 20 years. And it's been very emotional. It's been very moving to be able to, we call them family reunifications, to be able to get people back in touch with their Italian parents, their Italian brothers and sisters, their aunts, uncles, cousins, and whatnot, when they thought that they were an abandoned child with no one in the world that could care for them. And then they find out there's hundreds of people out there that are your kin, your next of kin. We just had a gentleman from Arizona that just came back to Sardinia this past week to meet his two elderly sisters. And this is after 70 years that they haven't seen each other and then known about each other. He left when he was 6 years old and moved to the States and got adopted by a family in Colorado. And finally, through the very entrepreneuring cousin that it was here in Italy, I'd heard the story on the deathbed of her mother that she had given up a child for adoption. After she passed away, she said, I'm going to find this uncle of mine. And she went out there, found our Facebook page, contacted me, and in about a week's time, I had located Robert and his family in Arizona, and we've been able to put them in touch with one another after over 70 years of not knowing anything about one another, and Robert growing up thinking that he was the only child and the only person, no family whatsoever, apart from his adopted family, of course. And now he came back. He was the mayor in Cagliari met with him last Thursday. They had a big party, a big celebration. They gave him an honorary citizenship. And it's just so great to know that you're part of a bigger and larger entity and that you're not out alone out there. So anybody who knows anybody who was adopted or came from Italy and want to know what their background is, we're here to help them. And we don't charge a thing, of course. So this is word of mouth. The only law that we have, or the rule that we have, is the pay it forward. I help you, you help the next person that comes along. And that's how this great network has been formed over these years. And we're all out there to look out for one another, help each other, and not only back in touch with their roots, but also get their citizenship, because we're all born in Italy.
Right, yeah.
So we're all Italian citizens. We all came over with an Italian passport, and we never lost that citizenship because we were naturalized as minors, right? And so the Italian law still recognizes you as an Italian citizen. So we're all dual citizens, my niece, and my kids are dual citizens, and my kids' kids will be dual citizens just because of that. And many people don't know about it. Even the Italian consulates don't know about it.
Well, I mean, yeah, well, of course it makes sense. And you have the record that you were born there, right? So there's
we were born here. And not only, Italian citizenship law is by jus sanguinis, it's by blood. Mm-hmm. In other words, if your mother, your grandfather was Italian, you inherit the citizenship. But since we don't know who our parents are because we're unrecognized at birth, there is one little caveat in the Italian citizenship law that says if you were born of unknown parents, figlio di ignoto, then you get the jus solis. In other words, you get citizenship by the fact that you were born in Italy. Okay, just like the Americans do. If you're born in the States, you're an American citizen. That's the only exception that the Italian citizenship law gives the Italian citizens the citizenship if you were born in Italy by unknown parents. Okay? And then you're automatically an Italian citizen. In fact, we were issued Italian passports when we left as babies, as children, and that Italian citizenship stays with us for life.
Oh, that's great. So do you have any idea, the numbers of people in the 50s, 60s, 70s?
Yes.
How many?
Yeah, because to enter the United States as an alien, we were issued alien visas. And the alien visas for orphans, quote unquote, to come into the United States have a K2, an IR4, or an M1 visa class associated with them. And as you well know, the National Archives released all the passenger lists up until 1963. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I went through all the passenger lists from 1950 to 1963, pulled out all the names of all the people that came in with a K2 and M4, and so an orphan visa, and I have all their names. Okay.
Oh, wow.
So I have all their names, all their birth dates, where they were coming to, and where they were going to. That's thanks to the National Archives and our passenger lists. Okay. So you had to fill out an I-94 card when you entered, when you're on the plane. Remember, when you land, you have to fill out the card. And those cards are all indexed, and they're all available to anybody who has access to the NARA archives or to the as an account on Ancestry or whatever. They can look up a name of anybody coming in and see who they were and where they were going, when they were born, where they were born.
Yeah, so are you able to – you're an IT guy. So you –
100 names in our database of all these children who left between 1950 and 1970 and entered the United States.
So if I knew, for example, I came in, 1958 or something like that, and I knew the date, would you be able to cross? Are you able to cross reference these?
We sure are. That's what.
Oh,
we do.
Oh wow, that's awesome.
That's what
that's
we do.
That's great. That's great.
Any people contact us, they give us their birth name, and we can tell them exactly when they came in, where they came from, what institution they were, put them in touch with the right court to petition to get the information on their birth family. And we do that every day. That's our that's the majority of our work is putting people in touch and reunifying families.
Yeah. Well, if anybody that you work with wants to give an interview, I'd love to talk to them. So
there's hundreds of them in the States, and you're in New Jersey. They're right down the road from you.
probably. Yeah, I would love to hear some of the stuff, especially somebody that was able to, make contact with somebody over there, or brother or sister or whatever. That would be a fantastic story to tell. Until we got made contact and I looked at your website and everything, or group, I had no idea that this was even going on. And of course, the people who have gone through it know about it, but they probably don't know that you're out there, and they probably don't know that they could petition the court now and try and find out. So,
and there's a lot of Italian-American families in the States, too, that have relatives and probably don't even know that we exist that could reach out to
us. So what's the group? I'll put it up on the screen, too, but what's the group that people should contact?
It's Italiadoption, spelled Italia. An Italian way, adoption. It's all one word. They can just look up Italian adoption and they'll find our group on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We're on all the major social medias. You can just look, search for Italian adoption, all one word. And you'll be able to get in touch with one of our members, either in the States or here in Italy. And we have hundreds of members in the States, and we have people here in Italy that are help that can help you out in the different regions and provinces and cities. Mm-hmm.
Well, this has been fascinating, a great story, and you know, hopefully we'll get this out there, and you know, we'll help other people to find their roots.
Mm-hmm. Made in Italy and adopted in the U.S.
All right. Well, thanks again, John.
Thank you, Ralph. It was my pleasure to be on here. If you have any other questions or if you want to hear other stories, we're always willing to put them out there.
Okay, great. Thanks again.